So, we're on our journey into chapter 8 of Revelation, is that right? We finish the last of the seals and begin the seven trumpets. We're only going to look at four of the trumpets today, dear friends. You'll notice in the seals, they were in groups of four and three, four horses and then the three other seals. Well, the trumpets come the same, in groups of four and then three woes at the end. So, we will just do the first four today, okay. Well, I keep saying this, I've been listening to the recordings. I always start with, where do we start with this one? What we want to say, first of all, is that what we see with the trumpets is, in some ways, a recap of what we've already had, because you notice how the sun and the moon and the stars are affected in this one. Well, they've been put out in chapter 6. The sun turns black and the moon turned red and the stars fell from the sky. So that's, I envisage, as the end of time. So we're going back. What I want to say really is, I mentioned this before, is my understanding of how Revelation is written is that we have, first of all, a general view, that's with the seals, the whole plan of God's plan, how he's reaching out to people, and there's the reaction of the devil and the opposition to that, and God's dealing with that. And that takes us up to the end of time. But the trumpets bring us down to the detail. We see how things begin to focus much more on the detail. Just to say, in chapter, I think it's chapter 7, we read that the people are sealed before the trees and so on are damaged. Do you find that? Yeah? He says in verse 3, he says, "Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put the seal on the foreheads of the servant of our God." So that comes before what we see with the trumpets, of course. Because in the trumpets we begin to see, we'll look at the details in a moment, but the trees are being affected and so on. So we're backtracking, but there's also additions coming in. There's more detail, as we'll see. So, having sort of set that as an outline, let's have a little look, first of all, at verse 1 there. It's the final of the seven seals, and there doesn't seem to be an awful lot happening with the seventh seal. What it does is everything goes quiet, and then it introduces the next set of seven, which are the trumpets. But what do you make of the fact that the Lord himself opens his seventh seal and there was silence in heaven for about half an hour? What's this silence about?
Anticipation.
Anticipation, that's a good one, yes. Yeah. It's setting the scene for the next scene. But also, I think it's in one of the, I think it's in Habakkuk, he says, "The Lord is in his temple, let the earth keep silence before him." You know, there's that sense of awe and anticipation and almost what's coming next type of thing as well. So that's what it's about.
It's a bit amazing, really, because that's what they've always been praying for in heaven, for him to bring it to fruition.
That's right, yes.
And yet when it actually happens, it's like, what?
Wow, yes. Well, that's definitely part of that, that we see this anticipation of what's coming, this tremendous sense that God is about to act in mighty power. And that's what chapter 8 is introducing us to. It's God's response to the cries of his people in some ways. But we'll look at that in a little detail now. So first of all, we see in verse 2, "I saw the seven angels who stand before God." That's not any old angel, that's the seven angels. We've not been introduced to them before. But it's part of Hebrew Jewish tradition that there were some very, very top-ranking angels, Gabriel being one of them, and we see mentions of others. Seven angels. It comes in some of the apocryphal books where we have the seven angels. Obviously, it's part of what God's order of the angelic structure is, yeah? The seven angels who stand before God. So these are top brass angels. You could brass be for the trumpet, of course. Sorry about that. Yes, top angels, they are given seven trumpets. Now then, the important thing to understand about the trumpets is, why are there trumpets in the first place? What's a trumpet for? Sounds an attack, one thing. Sounds an alarm is another one, yes.
Celebration.
So out of all those things, you've got to try and decide what, if any of those, are these trumpets meant to convey? And it's essentially, it's a warning. As we'll see, God gives warnings before he acts. He does that all the time. He warns people about what's coming in order for them. And sad to say, if you look at chapter 9, right near the end of chapter 9, if I can find it, yes. Yes, right at the end of chapter 9, the warnings have been sent, but verse 21 of chapter 9 says, nor did they repent of their murders and their magic arts and their sexual immorality and their thefts. And verse 20, the rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. So God sends warnings, but people sometimes tend to refuse to take notice. But God's giving warnings nonetheless. So that's what the trumpets tend to convey, the idea that God's giving us a warning. Yep. Right, so next thing is we find that there's another angel. There's lots of angels around. Are you glad about that?
Yes.
God's got lots of angels working on your behalf, which is just as well. Another angel who had a golden censer. What's a censer? Do you know?
That's what you put the incense on.
Yes, it's a sort of hanging bowl thing that you swing around and whatever. We don't use them in our church, but if you've been to other places, you may have noticed them, yeah? Right? Okay. Well, that's where the other churches get these ideas from. It's an Old Testament, but it's a New Testament picture as well. So he has a censer. He's acting, he's behaving in a sense like a priest. The priest carried the censers, yeah?
Do you know why they've done it? Did you realise why they've done the censers?
Why?
Because the smell. No. Yeah. The smells were that bad thousands of years ago. So that's the one they've done it for.
All right. Well, that may be something to say with that, yes. But, right. Okay. But it's not about the smell in the Bible view of it. It's a symbolic representation of prayer. A fragrant offering before God, yeah? So it's a physical symbol of a spiritual reality. Yeah? And so we have here he's got this angel, he stands before the altar. Now then, again, we need to just for a moment, which altar is he talking about? You remember I said that heaven is pictured as what it's like in the tabernacle or the temple. You have the Holy of Holies, the presence of God. You have the candlesticks, the seven lamps, yeah? You have the altar of sacrifice and offering. There's also the table of the showbread. But there's another altar that stands just before the ark. And that's the altar of incense, where the prayer was offered by the priest before the Lord, yeah? I suspect that's what the altar is here, yeah? Because he's going to be offering up prayer, of course, yeah? Right, so, the altar, he stands there, and he says he was given much incense to offer. Right, so, plenty of incense, so it's going to be... And it says, with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. Well, that clinches which altar it is. It's the altar of incense, yeah? So, he's offering prayer of all the saints. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Those are God's people's prayers. I suspect he's collected them all together. Yeah? And the interesting thing that comes out of this is he's offering them with the incense. Why is he offering the prayers of all the saints with incense? To make it a pleasant aroma. What's the spiritual significance? Someone might say is this. Yeah? Your prayers and my prayers are imperfect. Aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah? We don't quite always get it right. Motives aren't always quite right. Jesus is our one who intercedes for us, obviously. He takes our prayers and makes them fragrant. Yeah? He makes them acceptable. So Jesus is the one through which your prayers are filtered. He takes out the rubbish and puts out the good. Yeah? So, that's the idea that the prayers offered before God are prayers that are worthy and acceptable and are going to be heard. Yeah, so it's all the prayers are gathered up. Good to know, all the prayers, not one lost. Good. Right, so he offers them before the Lord, before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers from the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. It went up before God, which tells you
to the Father.
Yes. But what's happened to them?
They're gathered together.
Yes, they've been gathered together, and
they're going up to
They've been heard. Yes. They've been heard. He's accepted them. Yeah. Yes, that's the point. Yeah, he's received the prayers of all his people. Prayers about all sorts of things, but prayers, I suspect, for the Lord to reveal his glory and to show his justice in the world. Right, so that's what happens. So all the prayers and all the incense has been offered up, and so the censer is now empty. It's all been offered up. He says, then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar. Now, which altar is this? It's the altar of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice, yeah? He fills it with fire, and what does he do with it? He throws it down onto the earth. Yes, he filled it with fire from the altar and hurled it on the earth. What's the symbolism of that? What's it mean? The answer is being returned with fire. Yeah, it's an answer from God. An answer from God to bring his response to the prayers of his people. Yeah, and it's God dealing with the evil and the injustice and the wickedness that's in the world at that point in time. Yeah, which is the judgment side of it in that sense. But this fire has got very little to do with salvation, although we'll see that it's intended that the Lord wants people to repent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the aim of the warnings, yeah, as we'll come, right?
Can you connect it with the one in Isaiah where he was wicked and they took the coal from the altar?
Yeah,
is there a connection?
I don't think so. I don't think so with that. No, with Isaiah, it basically says he took it from it was at the time of the evening sacrifice.
Yes.
He took the coal from the altar and he touched his lips and he says, with this your lips have been purified. Okay. He's applying the effect of the sacrifice to Isaiah's lips.
Oh, I see.
Right, so that's redemption. Uh-huh. Whereas the fire here is going to cause a lot of problems. Yeah.
Judgment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's judgment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So here we have the effect is he throws it to the earth and there came. And you've got to wait for the sound effects now. Peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. That to me spells serious trouble.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the John has to see all of it. It must have been quite something to see all of this, yeah? Right, so, that's the introduction. Yeah? So, the seventh seal brings about the answer to the prayers of God's people and the introduction of the seven trumpets. So verse 6. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. They're ready. Mm. Yeah. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. Right. In all of these things we see, it's coming down upon the earth. It's coming from heaven to earth. The message is, God is sending his judgments. That's what it's about, yeah? From heaven to earth. You can't blame natural causes, yeah? It's God doing it. Got that. Right. So, we find, first of all, that the first trumpet brings down fire and hail and blood. Does that sort of type of thing remind you of anything else you've read in the Bible before?
Should have Israel in Egypt.
The plagues during the time in Egypt. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah was the fire coming down as well. But they're reminiscent of the plagues of Egypt in many ways. Yeah, that's the God's and the plagues of Egypt were God's judgments on Egypt for the way they treated Israel. Yes. Okay. So the same idea is God is answering the prayers of his saints for what they've done, what the world's done to his people. So what happens is we find this all this stuff coming down. Now let me just I want to give you an idea of the variety of interpretations that come across from these passages. I don't suppose you're aware, but there are umpteen different types of ways of viewing what's going on here.
How many times is umpteen?
Lots, yes. Let me take it in order of time. Some interpret all these judgments as the destruction of the nation of Israel at the time of AD 70, because they talk about the blood and all of this thing. Because you may not know the history, but when the Romans destroyed Israel, effectively, the Sea of Galilee was full of dead bodies. The water was red, you know, and they obviously equate the ideas of that with that. Yeah? And then others talk about the destruction of the Roman Empire, and the Goths and the Huns and the Vandals did their rather nasty work at destroying the Roman Empire. Okay, and then there's the sort of spiritual interpretation, which say all these events aren't particular events, they're just descriptive of the general sort of problems and troubles that the world faces in the time leading up to Jesus' return. Yeah. Well, I can't buy any of those, to be honest, because to my mind, and it's my humble opinion in the matter, to my mind, these descriptions that we see here are global catastrophes. They are not just some little pot thing happening, as bad as it is on the Sea of Galilee or in the Roman Empire. This is world stuff we're talking about. So it's big, and it strikes me as far more specific than just being general problems around the world over the long sequence of time. So I think it's talking about some real literal events that are going to happen, because they're on this scale, we have not seen it yet. Yeah. So that's... Well, I don't think so.
There's, I mean, if you wanted to say that it was Chernobyl or whatever.
Well, we'll come to that. We'll come to that. Yes, don't you worry. Yeah, we'll get there.
I read this.
Yeah.
That there's no if, buts, and maybes.
Yeah.
This is a warning that judgment is certain.
Judgment is certain. And the thing about Revelation, like I've said, we have the general view, I believe, on the seals. But we're getting down to specifics now, but we're not only just specifics. As we get further into Revelation, it gets more and more intense. We're getting near the end of time. And God is bringing out the signals strong and clear. You've got to change, because if you don't, it's going to be too late. Yeah. But it's also an encouragement to God's children down the ages. Yeah, God's going to deal with all the wickedness that's around. So back to our first trumpet. Yep. He sends down hail, fire mixed with blood, and he was hurled upon the earth. Yeah? So it hits the earth. It doesn't mean... you can translate the word land. That's how the people talk about the destruction of Israel. Because the word earth can mean land. And they may apply it to the locality of Israel. I don't think so. Yeah, because this is big time stuff. Yeah. So, what happens is, a third of the trees were burned up, a third of the grass, and all the grass is burned up, yes? Yeah. So, a third of the earth was burned, a third of the trees, and all the green grass. What's going on?
Is the pains of the earth going into the
new
earth, isn't it?
Well, that's a good one, yes. It's destructive, but what? Well, let's just pick up, draw out the bit. Why third? A third is not a whole.
No.
Yes.
Well,
think about that. It's basically the message is it's a warning,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's more than a warning for the third that gets hammered.
Yeah.
It's judgment time.
Yeah.
Yes, but for the rest, it's a warning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus illustrates that with, you know, when the Tower of Siloam fell over,
yeah.
The Jerry builders had not quite done the job right, and the tower fell over on the builders, and several were killed.
Yeah.
And the disciples and everybody else is saying, who's to blame, you know? Were they really that bad that the tower fell on them, you know, wicked sinners that they are? Jesus' answer is, they're no worse than you lot. Yeah? They've had to meet their maker, but if you don't repent, the same's going to happen to you.
Yeah,
you got the point. It's a warning.
Yeah.
And that's true. We can say this on the spiritual level in a sense. All the disasters that happen in our world are terrible things, and as human beings and as Christians, we have to do what we can to alleviate the suffering of the people that are involved in those things. But don't let's forget, these are warnings that the time in this world is running out. Yeah. So, you know, you don't say God's to blame. God allows these things to happen, yeah, but he uses them in order to warn us that there are dangers ahead if we don't change our ways. Yeah.
I don't know what at the minute, but I've got Psalm 103
yeah.
on my mind. That, you know, the word's compassionate. God is compassionate.
Yes, he is.
Abounding
yes.
in love, and it goes
yeah.
on. But at the end of the day, this is a serious message.
Yeah.
He will put your sin from you as far as there to there.
Yeah.
But you've got to make a.
You've got to turn to him.
You've
yes.
got to recognise it, and
yeah.
you've got to
respond to him.
Know, if not.
Yeah. yes. Okay.
When he says a third,
it's not just all in one place, is it?
I don't think so.
I think it would be spread all over the world so that
everybody gets the message. Yes. Right. So it's worldwide. That's what we're trying to argue. This is worldwide. Therefore, I don't think this has been fulfilled yet. You can use spiritual examples and say this is an example of it. But like in times of the Bible, all the time there are small fulfilments heading towards the big one.
Think it's in part, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah.
But when it comes fully,
they're partial judgment.
They're partial judgments, but they're judgments nonetheless, and they're meant to get the message across. Yeah, you've got to change. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the third of the trees we burned up. Why all the green grass? I don't
know.
Because
there's some vegetarians around here.
the green grass. They don't eat grass. They don't eat grass anyway.
Grass is in pork, grass. Animals.
It affects everything.
Yeah.
Let me just say these four trumpets are different to the final three woes. We haven't read the three woes yet. But the four trumpets deal with natural things in a sense, whereas the three woes deal with human beings. Yeah. This is dealing with nature, dealing with man's, let me use the right term, environment. Right. Yeah? God is turning the heat up in our environment, and he does that. You read the plague of Egypt, the plagues of Egypt. God starts with the little things, the aggravations, the problems. When they don't repent, he starts hitting the animals.
Yeah.
And then when they don't repent, he starts touching the people.
Yeah.
Right? God's last measure is people, yeah? But beforehand, he'll turn the screws up on the heating, just to make sure you're uncomfortable in the world you're in. Right, so, here we come. The earth burned up, and the trees, and so on. So, the environment is being damaged. Right, well, that's happening today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Second angel, then. Right, the second angel sounded his trumpet. And something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. Something like a huge mountain. Well, the problem for John and for a lot of the Bible writers is the things that they see, they've just not got the vocabulary to describe them.
No.
Yeah? I mean, supposing if, and I'm going to just suggest this, but there's a possibility in some places later on. John sees military warfare, he sees military warfare, and he describes these creatures having heads and tails that can sting and so on, right? If he saw a tank, what would he describe it as?
Yeah.
The beast.
Yeah. I'm not saying it is, but all I'm trying to say is the things that John saw, he does not have the vocabulary normally to describe. So when, for example, again back with Ezekiel, when Ezekiel has the vision of the Lord's chariot, he describes, I saw something that looked like something like something.
Yeah.
You know, he just does not have the words
to describe.
So we're dealing with amazing visions of interesting things. So something like a huge mountain, what would you describe it as?
A volcano.
I think it's a meteor.
Yeah.
I think it's a seriously dirty great meteor. We have a little one and it can cause, I mean in Russia, was it a year or so ago?
Yeah.
That smashed windows for hundreds of miles, you know.
Yes.
Right? Lit up the daytime.
Could it not be another planet?
Well, something big.
Be shaken up, aren't it?
Something big is going to hit us. That's the point. Yeah, but it only destroys the third. Yeah. So far, you're going to get away with it. Yeah. Right. But it says something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. It could be a meteor again. Yeah. But a third of the sea turned into blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of all the ships were destroyed. So, we've had land destruction, now we're on to the sea. Yeah, the ocean work and all the stuff that's going on in there. And this impacts on everything, doesn't it? It's on industry, on commerce and everything else.
Yeah.
A third of the creature, why does the sea turn into blood?
Well, if it's
all the stuff that's died in it, yes?
Yeah, that's right.
So that impacts sea. So it's all environmental, yeah. Are we messing up the sea, by the way?
Yes.
See, God doesn't need to send a meteor. We're doing it ourselves now, it would seem. Messing the place up. Right? It's true, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, we're filling it with plastic. All we need is set it on fire and we've got what we've got.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Okay. So, Then we're on to the third angel, right? The third angel sound his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch. Now, blazing like a torch means it's long. It looks like a comet, in a sense, something like that, coming down, yeah? Right? Blazing like a torch. Where's this going to land?
In the river.
It fell. Where did it come from? From above. Right? You got the message? Who sent it? Right. So it came from above, and it lands on a third of the rivers and the springs of water. Now then, that's important as well, isn't it? You need the land to live on. This is all where, you know, when God made the world, he made it habitable for human beings.
Yes.
And he's judging every bit of it.
Yes. He's now destroying it in the same way
he
built it.
Mm. Yes. So, the waters, the natural waters, what's the difference between seawater and spring water? You can drink it. Right, good. Yes, right. So, the springs of water, it lands on all those and damages it. The name of the star is Wormwood. Now, there's an interesting word for you. Wormwood is the name of a bitter compound, bitter stuff, isn't it? Makes things bitter.
It's bitterness.
Bitterness.
Herb or something,
isn't it? Can be, yes. Yeah. But do you know what the Russian name for Wormwood is?
Chernobyl.
Chernobyl.
Oh,
how about that? That was rather interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, because what happened in Chernobyl?
Atomic bomb.
That wasn't an atomic bomb.
No.
It was a nuclear reactor, that went rather awry, blew up, and then contaminated virtually everything, including our sheep in Wales.
Yeah.
Right? It turned everything, it may not have tasted bitter, but it was certainly toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it poisoned everything in the area. Yeah. Same idea, okay? You got the idea that this sets off something rather nasty. There are.
Why did they call their town that then?
Wormwood? No idea. Russians are funny people, you know.
Funny things.
They're too funny things.
Saying that, we are.
We're funny as well. We've got some funny names.
I had a nurse come to me the other day. I'm being moved to another unit. Outside the hospital, is named after a doctor. Mystery.
Doctor Mystery. Well, there you are. Right. Okay.
Been Indian.
Right. So, we've had the angel hitting the water supplies, and a third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. It's toxic. Right. We're poisoning our world. We're doing it now. As I say, we don't need God to do anything. We're doing it ourselves. But he's going to turn it up. That's what I'm getting at. Right? Okay? I was going to say, some commentators, and it's a possibility. I mean, I believe this is future. Because it's catastrophic on a large level, isn't it? Yeah. But one chap, Hal Lindsey, you may have heard of him. Yeah.
Yes.
One of his suggestions is these are the direct consequences of a nuclear war.
Yeah.
You can do this quite nicely. I mean, we've developed the capacity now to destroy the world, not a third, the lot, you know. Yeah. But if there was a limited, using inverted commas, a limited nuclear war, you could toxify everything, destroy virtually everything, you know. So whether the Lord allows that to happen, there is an amazing passage. I don't know, it's about the total end of time, to my mind, with in 2 Peter, where it says the day of the Lord is coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It burn up everything. Yeah. Well, that sounds distinctly like everything's going up in a blast. But anyway, we're only on to the third trumpet, so we've a bit more to go yet. Right? Yeah. So. I'd like to suggest, although these are described, because that's the only way you can do it, described in order, 1, 2 and 3, I suspect that the Lord will be doing these things in the same moment on all the different bits.
Your point of view, are we here at this time, or is after we've been baptized?
I think we're here. Sorry and all that.
I couldn't hear that.
I know. He's on about, will the Christians be taken out before then? Some say yes, or some of us say no. All I can say is you pay your money, you take your choice, and you wait and see.
I think there'll be a root of the church here, but I don't think it'll be the full church.
Well, most of us will have gone to the Lord before then, don't you think, yes?
Yeah.
But anyway, we will. We're going to wait and see. Yeah. If I'm right, right, then I shall comfort Seaton. And if, and if I'm wrong, I shall be rejoicing with Seaton.
I'm up there.
You're up there. I'll be there as well. I'm there as well. Unless the Lord says you made your choice, Dennis, and you stay down. Again, as I say, there are many different sort of approaches to these things, and as I say, I'm just taking what my view is, and I think it's reasonably consistent, but there are others who will disagree with that, of course. But anyway, we've got now our third angel. He's destroying the waters and they've become bitter, right? People are dying. Right, now we're on to the last of the four groups here, first of all. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. Now then, this has seriously got to be big time, hasn't it? You know? Is it an eclipse?
No.
Partial.
Partial.
Yeah, could be.
I don't know, is the answer. Let me offer a suggestion. Does that mean to say that the sun sort of stopped shining for a bit more of the day or something?
I could say a third of the earth would go dark, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but exactly. With the path, yeah. It wouldn't be.
Let me offer an alternative. As I say, I don't know. This is future. We're going to have to wait and see on this one. But as a suggestion is, it's not that it's a third of the period of time, but a third of the amount of light that we get. Now then, you can do that with another nuclear explosion, which sends up a cloud that covers a third of the Earth, and it just rotates around the Earth for a while. It'll wipe out. I mean, there are. I don't know if you've heard of it. There've been. It was in the 1800s, the year when there were two winters and no summer. It was when that massive volcano went up in the Far East, Mount Pinatubo or something like that. I can't remember his name now. But anyway, it went up and it threw up so much dust and sulfur dioxide that it completely blotted out the weather for the next year. Yeah? All God needs to do is send off a few volcanoes. I mean, he's sending it from the sky, I assume that. But all he needs to do is send up a few volcanoes and he's fixed it.
And the ash that we had a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Right, yes. Yeah. So, however, let me just offer you this as an interesting thought. It wouldn't have been many decades, maybe centuries ago, when people would have read this and thought, nah, that can't happen. It's impossible. Can't imagine it. Right? Nowadays, we have the technology. Yeah. It can be done. Yeah. We can completely smash the whole place up, you know. So, I'll just give you one more example of this as we're beginning to be aware now. If the sun, had developed sunspots, I don't know if you're aware of that, but there are certain areas of the sun at times which go darker, there's more magnetic activity there. And the sunspots are called sunspots because they're darker than the surface of the sun. They're not much cooler, but they look darker, in a sense. Yeah? But the thing about the sunspots is, they produce what are called coronal mass ejections. That's a good word for you, isn't it? Coronal mass ejections. Which means they turn out a whole ton of stuff, of plasma and ionic stuff and all this radioactive stuff and everything else. They pour that out of the sun's surface like a shotgun. A coronal mass ejection. Mm-hmm. It's going off all the time. Usually they're fairly small. Yes? But there have been occasions when there's been one pointing at the Earth. Yeah? It points at the Earth and then we've had a really big one. If you get some decent sized ones, you get what they call the auroras. Yeah? Aurora. Yeah? It's because the electrical stuff affects our Earth's magnetic atmosphere and it affects how the light works and all that sort of thing and produces these amazing auroras. Yeah? But if you get a really big one, yeah, it produces such an effect on the magnetic field on the Earth, it can wipe out the electrics. Mm-hmm. Yeah? It happened in the States a long time ago now. The transformers on the grid burnt out.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I remember that.
Yeah, the transformers on the grid burnt out, not because some guy had messed it up, but because out there the sun did something we weren't expecting. Yeah, and so we find All I'm trying to say is God is perfectly able to do these things.
Yes.
And we can, I've got a measure of understanding of how he might do it as well now, which makes it all the more real, I guess. Yeah. Right. So he knocks out a third of the sun, a third of the moon. Well, the third of the moon's bound to be a third of the moon. Why? Because if the sun's light's not working, then the moonlight won't work either. Because right, it's a reflector.
Yeah.
But the stars, well, that's just the sky's got blacked out as well, isn't it? I assume that, yeah? So he's affecting all of that. And so a third of the day was without light and also a third of the night. So it's all getting... And what happened in Egypt?
Sun
darkened the sun, right?
But it was like with the Israelites.
Interesting. Where the Israelites were living, the sun was out. Yeah, but where the Egyptians were, it was dark as it comes, you know. So God knows how to look after his kids in the midst of judgment. That's why I'm all right staying here. God knows how to look after his kids in the midst of judgments.
When Jesus died, it went dark, didn't
it? Yes.
Yes,
yeah.
It did.
Yeah, and again, that's not explicable. It couldn't have been. It couldn't have been an eclipse. No. Yeah. You know why?
We would have got light the sun.
No.
Because of the time of
the year. The time of the year. It was at Passover. And when's Passover? The 14th of Nisan, I'll talk about this next week. But
next week.
Yes, 14th of Nisan. What is happening on the 14th of Nisan?
The moon's full.
It's a full moon. You only get a full moon when the moon is on that side of the earth and the sun's on that side of the earth, opposite. Right? Mm. To get an eclipse, you want them on the same side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it couldn't have been an eclipse. Yeah. So what God did with the sun on that day when Jesus died, I do not know. But he can turn it on and off as he pleases. Yes.
And like he did when that person, was it Joshua or something?
Joshua, he stopped it moving.
Yeah, it stopped yes. so that stopped he could finish up the fighting.
Yes, yes, extra daylight. Yeah. So, our God is a big God. You've got to get that. Yeah. He's in charge of massive things. So, I see these as world events, which we're not seeing yet, though we'll see some examples of small-scale type things happening. Yeah. So, that's what we've got. Right, then, lastly, and we're just going to stop here. As I watched, I wonder what he thought about that. Oh, this is senior. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in mid-air call out in a loud voice. You didn't know eagles spoke, did you?
Wow. Right.
Yes, seraph. Sorry?
Seraph.
A seraph. Well, the early manuscripts have eagle.
Eagle.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think eagle's probably better because
it
what...
It
says eagle is in the margin.
Bottom,
yes, down
it.
The margin, yeah. Yeah. What does an eagle symbolise?
Strength.
Swiftness.
Sorry?
Swiftness.
Swiftness, yes.
Power.
But it's a bird of prey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good news.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Yeah. This is not going to be good news. Yeah. So we get the eagle flying over mid-air. That's in the sky that we see. So what we've seen so far is all the natural elements of the environment in which man lives, God is shaking. Yeah? He says in Hebrews, once more I will shake the heavens and the earth. Yeah. He's going to shake the lot. And he does that there, doesn't he? Yeah? Right. So, people ought to take notice. Maybe some do. I hope they do. Yeah?
Do you know, in my Bible it says, oh, horror.
Oh, yes, whoa,
well,
whoa.
Yes,
whoa, whoa.
Is that when it says earlier on in the Bible about the horror? Is that the... No, it isn't.
No, it's just a way of translating that one there, yeah. He calls out in a loud voice, yeah. This is an announcement, it's another warning. Vocal warning. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, which you've got this horror there, but it means...
Yeah.
Bad luck, for want of a weak term, really.
If it's three times, it
Watch
must
out.
Be really bad, mustn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yeah. And each one of them is referring to the next trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three more trumpets to go.
Mm-hmm.
Three trumpets,
three angels.
Big bad news is coming. Yeah. Right. So woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That includes me if I'm around at the time then. Right. Right, because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels. It's an introduction that the inhabitants, mind you, brothers and sisters, you are not inhabitants of the earth, just a technical
citizens
point. We are citizens of heaven. We may have our temporary residences here, but we know where we belong. Right. So, we have to stop there. We're waiting for the next three trumpets. So, bye then. Right, so we'll rest our case. You can read on the 5th, and if you can make head or tail of it, tell me about it next week, and we'll see. Right. I may have some answers, but can't guarantee everything. Let's pray, shall we? Thank the Lord, he's in charge. Lord Jesus, we know, Lord, that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Lord, that our lives are secure in you, Lord, as we seek to walk with you in faith and in purity. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who hears the prayers of your children, all gathered up, received by you, made right by Jesus, Lord, transforming them with his fragrance. Lord, we thank you, we can ask you to help in our lives and in our world. And Lord, while we don't call for judgments on men in that sense, Lord, we pray for justice to be done. And sometimes that involves, Lord, you acting in a very powerful and righteous way. Amen. Lord, may your will be done in our world. And Lord, may there be in our time, Lord, the warnings are sounding, Lord. They're not quite as big as we read of here, Lord. But if people have got eyes to see and ears to hear, there are warnings all over the place. Lord, this world is falling apart. Amen. Lord, we come to you and we pray, Lord, that there be many turn to Jesus before it's too late. Lord, have mercy on us and help us to be a light in a dark world. And Lord, thank you. Lord, you've provided for us and you always will. You're our Father and we bless you for it. And so we just commit each other into your care and pray, Lord, while we see the dangers, Lord, may we not live in fear but trust in hope that you, Lord, know what you're doing and you know how to look after us. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.